You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ah! No slapping, Lindsay.
Oh, slap
no,
away.
No slap fights. No
socially,
slap fights.
Socially distant slapping is allowed.
Yeah.
We need a slapping sound effect, though.
So what is going on? It is Friday. It has been a monumental week in the history of sports, as we have seen essentially a strike by players across sports, not just the NBA, but also in baseball and soccer and the WNBA and in pro football, where they have canceled practices at least yesterday. So there is a ton going on, and we're going to try to do some of our regular stuff today as we start to look ahead to the basketball actually resuming tomorrow in Orlando.
And one thing that's new today that was pretty extraordinary is the agreement that the players reached with the NBA to make some real tangible changes, including making all NBA arenas available for voting, which I thought was extraordinary.
Yeah, these are the three. NBA and its players have agreed to immediately establish a social justice coalition. Every city where the league franchise owns and controls the arena property, they will turn those into voting centers, and the league will work with players and network partners to create and include advertising spots in each NBA playoff game dedicated to promoting greater civic engagement in national and local elections. So those are the three things that have come out of the last 24 hours in terms of the NBA PA and the NBA having conversations about concrete steps that can be taken.
And regardless of where you stand politically, it has to be, I mean, it's just, it's indisputable that these guys made an extraordinary gesture by, I mean, it started with the Bucks, but like Russell Westbrook just did an interview. Russell Westbrook's coming back tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he said he wouldn't have come back unless the NBA and the players reached an agreement to address some of this social justice, some of their social justice concerns. And it seems to me that they've produced more and strangely, it's Jackie Robinson Day. They had to move
right.
It. It's normally in April, but it's today. It seems like they've moved more roadblocks over the last 48 hours than I can ever remember getting moved. Like immediate change. They got those guys on the phone in Wisconsin. They got the attorney general and the lieutenant governor on the phone. They were able to produce this document today that's going to provide tangible changes, and they're helping with voting. And I know change is slow, but these guys really moved some mountains over the past couple of days. And I said it yesterday, Mace. I think that when I was at UCLA, I took an African American history class.
Right.
I think that they're going to talk about what's happened over the past 2 days in African American history classes from this point forward. I think they made a huge difference.
I agree. Someday this will be mentioned in the same breath. I think you can already mention it in the same breath as Ali. You can mention it in the same breath as Tommy Smith and John Carlos. I mean, this
Kaepernick.
Was a Colin Kaepernick. I mean, this goes down as one of the great moments of sports activism that we have ever seen. And I think, generally speaking, the players made the right decision. I mean, I would not have blamed them had they said, you know what, that's it. There's too much going on. No more NBA playoffs. We're going back to our communities, and we're going to become very active and engaged in the issues there. Instead, they elected to stay in Orlando, where the spotlight is very, very bright, and where they are continuing to address these issues. Actually, did you hear Doc Rivers today?
Yeah. Really good.
Doc was great. Doc Rivers held a pregame press availability or a press availability today. And by the way, the Lakers are doing the same in about an hour. So we will bring you what the Lakers say about this crazy week in sports. But here is Doc Rivers addressing just the last couple of days in the bubble in Orlando.
The key to this thing is that I think that we all needed to take a breath. You know, we needed a moment to breathe. It's not lost on me that George Floyd didn't get that moment, you know, but we did. And we took it, and the players took it. And they got to refocus on the things that they wanted to focus on outside of their jobs. And then they voiced it, they organized it, they got it together. They understood they can't do everything on their own, that we all need help to get things done. And they went out and they got that help as well.
And, you know, addressing things in just an honest way. By the way, this is a nugget just in. Mark Medina's reporting that the Clippers have announced that the Forum will serve as a voting station for the general election on November the 3rd.
Right, because they don't own Staples Center, but Steve Ballmer does own the Forum.
Correct.
So that's the, you know, that's his way of saying we're going to, you know, we're going to do our part for what was announced today.
Yeah.
Strangely, Mace, so we've got these games tomorrow. Strangely, no game times have been announced.
Yeah, that is weird.
You know, we're going to, I assume they'll be announced at some point during our show.
Yep.
But what? And by the way, no matter what time the game is, we'll have it for you here on 710 ESPN and the Laker Radio Network. But we all, assuming, I was texting with McMenamin this morning, the only thing we're assuming is that it's happening tomorrow. That
and
the
you
Lakers
would almost
going to play tomorrow.
And you would almost assume that they would. That they might follow the same schedule, since essentially this is Wednesday's schedule.
Right.
They could conceivably just pick up exactly where they left off and play those three game fives tomorrow. But again, that's speculation. But they were once scheduled, the Lakers were once scheduled for a 6 o'clock tip on Wednesday night. So if they carry over and do the exact same thing, the Lakers will be playing tomorrow night. The reason I mentioned Dodgers is LeBron James organization. I was just looking up. I'm like, okay, so the Forum is doing this. Is Staples Center doing this? LeBron actually went to the Dodgers, and there will be a polling center at Dodger Stadium for the November election. So now the Forum and previously the Dodger Stadium were going to be voting centers. And this is happening across the country. Like I know Atlanta, where the Hawks play, that's going to be a voting center. The idea is to make it easier to vote, make it easy for people to vote. As I've seen on promos all day today, only 60% of Americans voted in the last presidential election in 2016. That number, you know, in other countries, that number would be embarrassing. For us, I don't understand the why somebody would sit it out. It's such an important moment. It's such an important part of our civic duties.
Right, but not everybody agrees with that. And Doc Rivers brought that up when he was talking to the players yesterday. Somebody did a poll and said only 20% of the NBA players voted in the last election. 20%.
Now, I bet that'll change.
Well, some teams are going through, I think Chris Paul did this in OKC, are basically registering the whole team to vote. You know, a lot of these guys weren't even registered. And so now they are getting active. They're getting involved. There was once a time when LeBron, you know, said, well, we need to do a lot more than just vote. And now he has completely taken the bull by the horns and said, I'm going to make voting easier.
Yes.
And he's making tons of changes to do it. But it's interesting. Colin Kaepernick doesn't vote.
Yeah.
He's been outspoken about that. But I think that if you look at the fastest way to change something, the fastest way to get tangible change is to vote the people out who are the roadblocks and vote the people in who believe what you believe.
Correct.
And so that's, regardless, I'm not going to tell anybody how to vote. But
no.
But if you don't vote, it's very difficult to come back. Like, I was reading today that Jason Whitlock, who's really outspoken on all this stuff, who used to work at ESPN and Fox and now he works for Outkick, doesn't vote. And I thought, well, why should I listen to you? You don't vote.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I don't understand the rationale for not voting.
Right. But everybody, I mean, I'm sure he has his reasons, but I think that voting's easy to do. You can impact your future. LeBron, have you seen the ads the NFL's running?
Yeah.
Where Pete Carroll says,
I only try to win 60% of my games.
Right. And Cam Jordan and a bunch of other people come on and go, man, this is unacceptable. And they're going through their rosters and registering like entire rosters of NFL teams to vote.
Right.
And I think it's a worthwhile exercise. I think that at the end of the day, if you want to change things fast, you got to vote your guys in there.
Yeah, and by the way, it's happening at the college level. Also, Lindsay just sent me, Ed Orgeron says every LSU player will register to vote. Georgia football registers to vote as a team. So it's happening. You know, there's a general awakening to this idea that vote has a great deal of power. And it is the way to accomplish the most substantial and permanent change. And that doesn't mean just the presidential election. That means look up and down your ballot. Those are the people that run your city. Those are the people that run your state.
Right. And those are the people that are making the laws and making the rules that lead to a lot of the problems we're having.
Yep.
So you got to decide for yourself who you want in and who you want out, but you can't decide if you don't vote.
Okay, so there's a lot going on today. First of all, got to let everybody know that the pop quiz.
Yeah, giving away the key to a car today.
Key to a brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30 from John Patterson and OC Mazda. Something we say between now and 3:15 will be on the quiz. You have to have listened to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It is a really tough quiz today. It is a really tough one. So if you haven't listened, don't call. Don't gum up the lines.
Yeah, we made it too easy last time. The very first guy got all five questions right. And so the three of us, Lindsay Mace and I, specifically made this. Now, Lindsay, you think it might even be too hard, right?
I think it's hard, but I think it should be. I think
right.
We are way
I
too
late
with the first one.
All right, so you better come ready. If you haven't been listening all week, or if you haven't been listening to the podcast, you're going to get bounced. So
yep.
Get ready for that later.
And that's at 3:15 today. 3:15 is
okay.
The quiz. Yeah, and something we say between now and then is going to be on the quiz. And thanks to John Patterson, OC Mazda, for hooking us up to give away Mace's Mazda. It's Mace's Mazda. Did you know that, John?
I'll take it. I'll give you
it's Mace's
credit.
Mazda.
I know your relationship with John Patterson got us the car, so we're in. Let's do it.
The other thing we will let you know is that coming up on the show, we will talk to Jeff Passan at 2:15, get a temperature on baseball, and talk about that crazy Brody Van Wagenen thing, which we should touch on beforehand.
It's just so Mets.
And Bruce Feldman is going to join us a little bit later on. John, we were able to book your neighbor.
Excellent. I just saw his kids running around in the street, so I'm glad to see we got the dad.
And Momo is 30 minutes from right now on everything that has gone down in the NBA bubble this week. So it is a really busy show. We are going to try to do some of our normal stuff. We'll do the scoop, and we'll do Radio Tinder, and we'll do Game of Games, and we'll do all that stuff as we continue to follow the unfolding story of this player strike, which has affected sports across the board. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Okay, want to hear some really encouraging and exciting news?
Yes.
Greg Bergman ate donuts last night.
What?
Yep.
Bergman, if you screw this up for me, I bet on him.
So he is
right,
now.
So people who don't know.
Yeah, go ahead.
I made a bet that Bergman would get to 190 pounds, and before Mason gets to 200, they both put on about 15 pounds of COVID weight.
Yes.
So they're both a little pudgy, but they both want to lose it. So I got Bergman getting to 190 before Mason gets to 200. Mace, what do you weigh today?
I am at 211.
Okay, and what do we know what Bergman's at?
Yes, he is at 102.
202.
How's the sugar intake?
202, yeah, 202. So I've got a pound on him right now.
Okay.
Because he broke down in that bonus. And by the way,
why is he eating donuts? What's that
all about? Entire week, no sugar. No sugar. I've done it. You guys laughed at me.
Why is Bergman eating donuts?
It's a lack of self-restraint. It's a lack of discipline. It's a lack of toughness. It's all those things.
If he blows this.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So it's Jackie Robinson Day across baseball. Normally, of course, that's April the 15th, but there was no baseball played at that time, so it's being celebrated today. And Mookie Betts of the Dodgers did a video for Jackie Robinson Day, and it plays perfectly well on the radio. Let's go ahead and play that.
The most luxurious possession, the richest treasure anybody has, is his personal dignity. If I had a room jammed with trophies, awards, and citations, and a child of mine came into the room and asked what I had done in defense of those fighting, and I had to tell that child I had kept quiet, that I had been timid, I would have to mark myself a total failure in the whole business of living. I cannot say I have it made while our country drives full speed ahead to a deeper rift between men and women of varying colors. Speeds along a course towards more and more racism. Life is not a spectator sport. If you're going to spend your whole life in the grandstand just watching what goes on, in my opinion, you're wasting your life. Until every child can have an equal opportunity in youth and manhood, until hunger is not only immoral but illegal, until hatred is recognized as a disease, a scourge, an epidemic, and treated as such, until racism and sexism are conquered, until that day, Jackie Robinson and no one else can say he hasn't made. There's not an American in this country free until every one of us is free.
And, of course, Jackie Robinson broke the color line on April the 15th, 1947, and much has changed. We have to acknowledge that there has been progress, obviously, just not fast enough and just not complete enough.
Right, but I give this speech every year in April, but since they had to move Jackie Robinson Day, you should watch, if you've never seen it, go watch the movie 42. Chadwick Boseman plays Jackie Robinson. Harrison Ford plays Branch Rickey, the GM of the Dodgers.
Really good.
And it is very well done. You know, there is a Jackie Robinson story where Jackie played himself, but it just reeks of being of that time period. Like, I don't know when they did it, but they did it in the 60s or the 70s, and it's just old. 42 nails it.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a bunch of...
Was it one where Jackie Robinson played himself?
Yeah, it's called the Jackie Robinson story. But 42 is a better movie. But if you want to see Jackie play himself, go by all means, find the Jackie Robinson
story. Yeah, because Babe Ruth did that once, right?
Yeah.
And Muhammad Ali did it once.
Yeah, but there's a bit, like, for example... There's another manager that's played by a guy you had on your podcast.
Yeah,
once,
Alan Tudyk. Yeah, really good.
Who just, when Jackie Robinson's up at the plate, is just in the dugout yelling the N-word at him.
Yep.
And Jackie was, like, tried to make peace with him and didn't want to. And there's a really interesting scene when they go to Cincinnati. And you see a father in the stands yelling, N-word, get out of here, N-word. We don't want you here, N-word. And you see his son's maybe 10. And his son starts repeating what his father said. Yeah. And that was the famous scene, Mace, where Pee-wee Reese, who's played by another good actor, the guy who played the quarterback in Friday Night Lights, he was in one of the Fast and the Furious movies.
Yeah, I'll have it in a second.
Okay, so he plays Pee-wee Reese, and he comes and puts his arm around Robinson at first
base. Lucas Black.
Lucas Black, yeah. And
He was in the bad Fast and the Furious.
Oh, Tokyo Drift. Completely
disagree. He was in Tokyo
Drift.
That one does not even count. That shouldn't even count as a Fast and Furious movie.
Tokyo Drift has the best looking woman in the entire series. She cannot act, but she is insanely good looking.
Really?
That's the reason to watch
the movie.
She's
more attractive than the one we get from Game of Thrones. What's her name?
It's close. The one who played Melisandre in Game of Thrones?
No, not Melisandre. The one that played...
No, the one... Oh, you're talking about Natalie Emanuel.
Natalie Emanuel is the one that's in them now.
Yeah, she might be... You're right.
Tokyo Drift. Awful movie.
Yeah, Tokyo...
Don't watch it.
No, Tokyo Drift. Watch just for that girl. It's really good.
Yeah.
But... Anyway, watch 42 is the point of this, the Jackie Robinson
it's really
movie.
Good.
It is really, really well done.
And especially now would be timely to sit down with the kids and watch that movie.
Yeah. And the reason, by the way, they're doing Jackie Robinson Day today is because the pandemic knocked it out in April.
Yes.
So they decided to do it today. And I think, Mace, today was the day that Branch Rickey decided to bring him up, is why he broke... Or, like, made the decision, like, decided that Jackie Robinson would be the guy that could handle all of it. And this is all covered in the movie.
Right.
And the movie. Yeah, I mean.
Lindsay, have you seen the movie?
I have not seen that one yet.
You haven't seen 42? Oh, you'd love it. It's
You're
really
a baseball
good.
Fan. You would love it. Jorge, did you see it?
Yes, I have seen it.
All right, good.
Yeah.
How'd it rate for you?
Yeah, pretty good.
Jorge, that's your review? Yeah, it's pretty good.
No, it's better than pretty good. Jorge, forget that. Thumbs up or thumbs down on Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift?
Thumbs all the way down.
What?
Yes!
What is wrong with you?
Yes, Jorge.
Girl? No, man, I'm not watching just for a girl.
Lindsay, thumbs up or thumbs down on Tokyo Drift? Have you seen it?
I've never seen that one, and I don't think I ever will. Sorry.
Oh, skip that one.
Yeah, please. Don't waste your time, Lindsay.
All of the Fast and Furious movies are good. There's not
yes,
a bad
are.
Fast and Furious
except
movie.
For Tokyo Drift. Oh, streaming please. September 4th, Disney's got a brand new movie, Mulan. Everybody's been talking about this. It's a great-looking martial arts movie. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premier access. All right, coming up next for you. We've got Ramona Shelburne is about 10 minutes away, but I want to stop and talk about college football a little bit, as there now appears to be some movement with the Big Ten. We'll get into that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What's going on? It is Friday. Thank you very much for being out there. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you migrating from our old afternoon drive slot back to our where we belong, which is middays, where we absolutely love. John, you've had communication now with Greg Bergman?
Yeah, I don't... You guys tell me if I should apologize to Bergman. I was pretty upset when you told me, Mason, that he ate donuts last night, and I compared him to a movie character who is, I guess...
You guess what?
Well, he's overweight.
Yeah.
Get in my belly!
That's the one. Here's what I wrote, and I apologize if this is fat-shaming, but I wrote, "You ate donuts last night? What the F? Get it together, fat bastard." And he responded by saying, "Ha ha, it was this morning, and I had 4.
Whoa!
He ate 4 donuts. How am I going to win this bet if he's eating 4 donuts in the morning?
Get so in I'm, my belly!
So I'm at 211, he's at 202.
And
I'm
the gonna, bet is
I'm getting
Mason,
to 200 first.
Mason gets to 200 before Bergman gets to 190. Yeah, I don't like my chances anymore. How much, Lindsay,
right.
How much should I bet?
You bet 5.
So Mason bet 5. So it would be a $10,000 swing.
Did I bet on myself?
Yeah, I guilted you into it.
Oh, right. God, it's such a bad bet. I should be. I'm a
if
long
Bergman
shot.
If Bergman cost me this money, I will take it out against him for a year.
Good.
I think it's your own fault, John. I think it's a bad bet. I don't know.
What are you talking about? When I made the bet, I asked you if you thought I'd win, and you said yes.
I guess I misunderstood, and I thought that you were betting on Bergman.
I am.
I am betting on Bergman. He is betting on Bergman.
Oh, okay, okay. Then you're good. You're fine.
I'm betting on myself. I'm betting because I know that I am so friggin'
disciplined
when I want to be. I have not
You can't think that four donuts is going to swing the whole competition, though, John.
You know what it is, Lindsay? It's a pattern. It's a pattern. If you can't hold yourself to one donut on a Friday, like a month before this thing gets decided, come on.
You're wrong, because they say that a cheat day is actually good for diets because then it discourages you from binging.
I think he went out, he got stoned, and he ate a whole box of donuts, and I'm screwed.
A bad start for Bergman.
It is a bad start.
Very bad start.
It's like when the Lakers fall behind 10-0. It's never good. But the Lakers always come back. So maybe Bergman will do the same.
Let's talk about college football.
Because this is surprising to me.
So the Big Ten is discussing Thanksgiving weekend as one of several options to start its football season. An early January start with an 8 or 9 game schedule at indoor venues has generated the most discussion so far, but pushing the season kickoff to around Thanksgiving is also under consideration. I have said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I think it is foolish and irresponsible to go ahead with the college football season.
Well, here's the other thing. If you go back and look at the day the Pac-12 announced that they were canceling football.
Yep.
What did it was they had a conference call, and they had three or four doctors come in and explain the risks. And the risks were so overwhelming, and they told stories about how there were certain college-age kids who had developed complications. There is a heart issue, a certain heart disease that seems to get activated by COVID. And Larry Scott, who is the head of the Keystone Cops of conference commissioners.
Yes, he's awful.
He came out and said, once we heard the doctors, it was an easy decision for us. We knew we couldn't go forward. Well, as far as I know, Mace, none of those doctors have changed their opinions.
No.
What are we doing here?
And, John, this is getting worse. Texas Tech has announced that it has 21 active coronavirus infections. Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley told reporters that an entire position group, except for one player, had to stop practicing because of positive tests. North Carolina State, they've got three clusters of cases that have broke out on campus. And University of Alabama has recorded more than 500 cases. What are they possibly thinking? Now, by the way, Lindsay completely disagrees on this. Lindsay, you are okay with football going forward at the collegiate level.
I think that with the information that came out today based on what Bruce Feldman's been reporting about the rapid testing, these $5 rapid tests that are seemingly affordable for all these universities to be able to test the student athletes, I think that if they can figure out a system the way that NFL seemingly has and MLB, I think if they can figure out a system that's going to allow them to test daily, then I think it's okay.
Why doesn't everybody have these tests? If these tests are out there, why is...
Well, they don't. They literally just came out this week.
Lindsay, do you know if they were just approved
by the FDA this week.
Do you know, are these the saliva tests?
Yes, they're the saliva tests, John.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're cheap, they're affordable, and does that change the ball game?
I don't know. We're trying to track down Bruce. We're trying to track down Bruce Feldman, and so hopefully he'll join us later. But
we have him at 3:30 today.
Okay, 3:30. So one of the first things we're going to ask him is what has changed after they heard those four doctors. The doctors convinced him that the medical risk was too great, and it became, quote unquote, according to Larry Scott, an easy decision. And now they're talking about reversing it. Well, I should be fair. The Pac-12 has not been reported. The Big Ten.
But everybody's
assuming the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are married on this.
Right.
That if the Big 12 comes back, the Pac-12 couldn't be the only conference not to play. Right. And so let's see what happens.
Yeah, I just think it is a huge mistake. And by the way, if you look at a COVID map and you look for all the red spots, they're all in the SEC. It's like the SEC, all those schools, Alabama and Florida and Georgia, that's where the hot spots are right now. That's where they're trying to play. It's just irresponsible.
And
it just is.
And
by the way, the reason, John, the Big Ten is moving is because they've got parents protesting. They've got students suing the Big Ten.
But if you look at it, just take sports out of it. Campuses that, like North Carolina, let kids back on campus.
Yep.
And there was a huge corona outbreak.
Yeah.
Because kids don't follow the rules. They think they're immune from this. That's why you got to protect them from it. I'm with you. I wouldn't play. I think it's a mistake.
And Lindsay, you would go ahead.
Well, she said she'd go ahead if they could test.
I would. And I think that, obviously with the student outbreaks, you've got things like parties and stuff like that going on. I think you need to kind of look at the whole landscape of where each school stands, which, it's part of the bigger problem with none of these, like college football not being governed by one specific person. I think that they would have to have the same set of rules for everybody, not something where, okay, this school's got students, this school doesn't. They would all have to be uniform, because that's the only way that you can really do it and make it fair and make it safe.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big problem with college football is there's no uniformity. There's no commissioner of everything. So each conference is basically doing its own thing. They're doing their own testing. They're responsible for themselves. They're creating their own bubbles on their busy campuses where there are a lot of parties and there are bars off campus, and that's how the stuff is spreading. And is it right? Can you ask kids playing football to risk being sick in an effort to continue with a college football season? I just think it's ridiculous.
All right, coming up next, Ramona Shelburne will join us.
By the way, is the woman in Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift Gal Gadot?
No, it's Natalie Kelly.
Natalie Kelly. Okay, somebody thought Gal Gadot.
Well, Gal Gadot is in some of the... Okay, so hold on. This is breaking news.
Okay.
I've got the schedule.
Good.
All right. Ready?
Yep.
Tomorrow. Orlando, Milwaukee, 12:30. Oklahoma City, Houston, 3:30. Portland, Lakers on TNT, and I assume Spectrum Sportsnet, but it may be an exclusive on TNT for sure, at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock tomorrow night is the Laker game.
So it's basically the Wednesday schedule.
Correct. The Clippers play...
Sunday.
12:30.
Right. So at this point, we know Milwaukee's got a chance to close out Orlando. The Lakers have a chance to close out Portland. And Houston and OKC are 2-2, playing a critical game 5. And it's best for us that series goes long. We want that series to extend. Let's get Oklahoma City and Houston to play 7 games and give us a blow while we're waiting to see who we play.
Right. So,
assuming Dame Lillard is still out for tomorrow, although it's been a couple of days.
No, Macy already left the bubble.
Oh, he left the bubble. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, to go get his knee checked back in Portland. So, he's out for sure. And again, if you're just joining us, Lakers-Portland, game 5, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock tip, pregame show with Sliwa and Michael at 4. So, Lakers tomorrow, pregame at 4, tip off at 6. And we would assume, Mace, that means if a game 6 is necessary, it would be on Monday.
Right. Right. And yeah, that makes sense.
If you're a Clipper fan, 12:30 Sunday is your game 6.
Yeah, they're essentially just picking up the schedule and moving it a couple of days.
Yep.
For all intents and purposes, it's just like we've missed 2 days, and now they're going to pick up again, or 3 days, and now they're going to pick up again. So Lakers tomorrow, excited for that. Excited to see some basketball again. I should mention, too, Dodgers swept a doubleheader last night.
Yeah, and because of this weird schedule, they then hopped on a plane and played tonight in Texas.
Yeah. They had back-to-back shutouts last night. Clayton Kershaw looked great. And great bullpen game in the nightcap. So Dodgers continue to be hot. Coming up next for, and we will get to this Brody Van Wagenen thing. It's a baseball story. It's fantastic. And Brody Van Wagenen, on a hot mic, said what all of us are thinking. said what all of us are thinking.
He's probably going to get fired for it.
And we will get that coming up for you. But next is Ramona Shelburne, the very latest on the way everything has gone down in the bubble. And she's got all the details coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
710 ESPN, Mason, Ireland, and it has been an earthquake of a week in professional sports as we have seen sports basically go on strike for all intents and purposes for the last 3 days. We know that the NBA is going to resume action tomorrow, and we know that the Lakers will play at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. 4 o'clock is pregame with Michael Thompson and Alan Sliwa. Joining us right now, a woman who's been in the middle of all of it, the great Ramona Shelburne. Momo, how you doing?
You know what? I'm doing better today. I was really tired yesterday. Yeah. That was emotionally and spiritually and physically draining to watch, right?
Ramona, without it's interesting you use that word that you were tired, because I think a lot of people were. Imagine how tired Black people are of making this argument. I mean, of just over and over. I think that's what's fueling all of this. They've just had it. And I think the NBA players found a way to take all that rage and channel it into something tangible, and good for them.
You know, John, that's exactly what I was thinking the night I was watching Doc Rivers. At his post-game press conference, the NBA and its players, okay, 80% are African-American. Not as many coaches. Hopefully that changes soon. But these are some of the most powerful Black men in the country, in the world. LeBron James, like, how many Black men have more power than LeBron James in this world?
That's a good question. Not many.
I'd say it's probably top 5, top 10.
And yet,
he speaks out. He does, you know, so much work in the community. He does all of these voter rights initiatives. He's built a school, and he keeps talking about this and saying things, and it just happens over and over again. And that's just got to be so frustrating, right?
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be. Yeah, describe, Momo, describe, because there have been multiple reports today, I'm hoping you could put a finer point on this, that in that meeting, that Wednesday night meeting, that LeBron didn't agree with what was going down to some degree. Can you explain that dynamic?
Yeah. You know, look, there have been a lot of conflicting versions of stories that I've heard. Of like LeBron's real position. And I want to say very clearly that we should wait for LeBron to explain himself before we all decide, you know, this is what happened. He will tell us. And that's one thing I've appreciated about LeBron over the years, is that he's very deliberate with his actions. He doesn't speak until he knows what he wants to say. But from what I have heard, Steve, to answer your question, I think there was a general frustration amongst a lot of players that the Bucks sort of acted unilaterally, that they just boycotted the game, and then really they went on strike. They didn't play the game without coordinating it with anyone, that they put the rest of the league and all the other players in that position where they all had to scramble, and it was a surprise. And they also, the Bucks also did this without a real goal in mind. They just didn't want to play the game. They didn't feel it was right for them to play the game. That's cool. They sort of protested first and figured out what they were going to ask for second. And they literally, I mean, some of the reporting I did on this, I just keep coming back to this little detail. They literally, in the middle of this call with the lieutenant governor of Wisconsin, where the attorney general, the lieutenant governor are like telling them, okay, here's some action items. Here's some things that you guys can use your platform to ask for. And they send a video coordinator out, and he goes and gets a whiteboard, and they start writing this stuff down. And it's like, I mean, it was a protest first and then a call to action later. Like, they didn't know what to ask for. And I think that's sometimes how this goes. Sometimes you're just so angry and hurt and upset that you just need to stop and breathe. And one thing, you know, like that's that was the it was an emotional moment for everyone involved, and I think that emotion had been building all week. So LeBron had the characterization I have heard is more that he just wanted there to be a plan. He was frustrated that they'd gotten this far down the road with boycotting games or not playing games, striking, whatever you want to call it, and that they didn't have like a plan in mind, that this wasn't done strategically. Because one thing you can say about LeBron James is he's very strategic in what he does. Like he doesn't just say, you know, call out racial injustice or police brutality. He forms more than a vote, and that's taken 5 months for him to put together. He builds a school in Akron. You know, it's like he does things directed towards a cause. And, you know, what happened this week in the NBA was sort of they leapt before they knew what they were leaping into.
Yep.
Ramona, I want to follow up on something you said about, I think you just hit the nail on the head as to why that meeting was heated in any way. Mm-hmm. is that the Bucks moved before everybody was ready. The number one thing here, and the players have talked about it before, and I know you've covered some of these these stories, is that they have to act as a group. They have to act together. That if they go off and do a bunch of different things as factions, they minimize their power. And that's why I think they were mad at George Hill and they were mad at Milwaukee. Now, what they did was they pulled it out of the fire and made a tremendous save. I mean, everything they've been able to do in the last 48 hours has been great. But I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that there were players annoyed with Milwaukee, because the players have, think about all the stuff the players have gotten already. Mm-hmm. You know, that they were able to, that there's a CBA that nobody thought could be negotiated. The players have empowered themselves to the point of they may have replaced the baseball players as having the strongest union in all of pro sports, and then one team went rogue. And I think that now that they've got their whole group together, mm-hmm. Chris Paul said yesterday, or may have been this morning, that he hasn't seen them this united in the entire time he's been in the league. And Chris has been in the league 15 years.
Yeah, I want to talk a lot about Chris Paul and Andre Iguodala. Those guys are incredible. I can't say enough about the leaders they are, the way that they've organized the players. I mean, you know, and it just keeps hitting me, guys. Like, we are asking a lot of these players. We really are. I mean, I didn't know anything about what was going on in the Wisconsin state legislature. Okay, I'm on the phone with the lieutenant governor, and he's explaining to me what he was telling the Bucks, and they're all taking notes. I mean, just think about it. This is a team that's, like, trying to win an NBA championship. And in the same breath, they're trying to call for racial justice for Jacob Blake. They're trying to, you know, call for societal change. And now they're getting a crash course in Wisconsin state politics. Okay. Yeah. And Chris Paul, Andre Iguodala, like, from what I have heard in terms of what they've been like in these meetings the last couple of days, just absolutely incredible. Like, you know, the several people have remarked to me that Andre Iguodala was an absolute star in that meeting.
Think about it, Momo. He was almost out of the league.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's, you know, he's talking about this police reform bill that's on the table in California. They're debating it now. He said, it's up for a vote this week. Are you guys aware of this? They've been pointing out, I mean, my colleague Mark Spears was reporting, Chris Paul said, you know, we have information that only 20% of the players in this union are registered to vote. You guys need to all be registered to vote. You need to get everyone on your team registered to vote. Like they are digging in. They're getting in the weeds. And by the way, they're playing basketball at an incredibly high level and organizing initiatives outside of basketball. I mean, it's just a lot on their shoulders. And I don't blame them for needing a minute here. They needed they're playing every other day. That's a lot. You got to keep your body right, your mind right. They're going through. I don't know what you guys were like when you saw LeBron talk that night. I just started crying. He got me, man. Like, I was just like, and think they're going through all of this without their families there. Like, they can't hug their kids. They can't.
Well, and Ramona, you know, think about this. So the Jacob Blake things happens, and then, you know, LeBron's got teenage boys.
Yes.
So he can't look him in the eye face to face and say, hey, I hate to be, you know, every, like, every black father has had that discussion. We saw Robert Horry break down in tears talking about it on Spectrum the other night of, hey, this is what I want you to do if you're in that situation. And none, to your point, none of these guys could do that because none of their kids are in the bubble.
Right. I mean, I just, you know, look, when I have something that's upsetting for me, I can go talk to my husband. My mom comes over.
Sure.
You know, I got my son in the next room. I mean, it's just like these guys have been away from their families for months and they're dealing with all this and all they are together. And that's
yeah. And by the way, let me address something. So we Paul George obviously had a great game against Dallas just before we had sports come to a screech and stop here. But he talked about, and we made a big deal, playoff P, pandemic P, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Then he talks about, you know, the mental health issues, anxiety, depression. Now I feel kind of guilty for making sport of playoff P or pandemic P, right?
Yeah, I did too. I mean, I didn't make fun of him, but I felt bad that we were even, you know, harping on it so much, because I think it was another thing Doc Rivers said, just being in that room, you know, like, look, Chris Paul reached out to Doc Rivers and asked him to address the crowd that night. Okay. And it must be so hard for Chris Paul because he's had so many calls like this over the past 4 or 5 months. You know, they spent time on this when Kyrie Irving brought this up before they announced the restart, right? They had, you know, Kyrie and Avery Bradley had a big phone call, and Chris Paul was on this, you know, on this talking to the guys, say, look, I understand, I feel your pain and emotion, but we got to see the bigger picture. We're going to have a bigger platform in Orlando to keep talking about this. Like, he has dug in on these issues for months. And that's got to wear on you. Now, everybody's in the bubble. You have only your teammates and coaches around you, your basketball 100%, and you see the world just going through this. And you don't, all you can do is talk to your family, or you can talk to your teammates about this, your coaches, right? Your family, I guess you can Skype or FaceTime, but like, it is so much to just be isolated. Just think about what, like, I don't know where your mental health is. Mine goes up and down.
mine clearly goes up and down.
Yeah, you know, like, and we have.
And if I was, if I was isolated, if I didn't, if I wasn't with my dogs, if I wasn't with my, obviously Juan, if I wasn't in my house, if I was living in some secure, I mean, there's a point where when I originally moved to California, I got put in a hotel for 6 weeks. Hotel living is not. It's not fun after a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It gets very monotonous, and I understand the isolation and the anxiety that is going along with this, and I think it's probably contributed to what we've seen in the last couple of days. Feelings are raw.
Yeah, just raw.
And part of the reason is there's a lot of anxiety and there's a lot of some depression going on, and we're isolated and all that stuff. So
I mean,
all
Mace,
of it,
you like
I think
your donuts
harder.
Every night, right? Like, you so how many times?
Yes, he does.
I have gone.
Thank you for pointing that out.
I have gone a week without sugar, Momo. A week
Whoa.
Without sugar
won't last.
It's lasting this time. Hey, Momo, we got to cut you off.
Let's do it.
I know you could talk all day. I know you could talk all day, but
I can
we're gonna
fill
cut
with
you
the
off
best
right
of them.
Here.
All
yeah.
right, Momo. Say hi to the boys.
I will.
All right, see ya.
Thanks,
miss you, Momo.
Bye.
All right, coming up next for you is The Scoop, all the stuff we haven't talked about yet. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.